job. Thank you. Appreciate it. We are now at number six, Puget Sound Partnership. Ms. Blackmore and Jeff Davis.
Where's everyone going?
It's like the best agenda.
Thank you. Should we get a lunch out of this deal,
Laura? I got here just in time for you.
Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you. I'm ready.
I felt like I was waiting for Raven to like make eye contact with me so she could listen to the directions that I had. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. My name is Jeff Davis. I'm your Director of Conservation Policy here at the department, and it's my honor and privilege to be here with you this morning to introduce Laura Blackmore, who's the Executive Director of the Puget Sound Partnership. Laura has been at the partnership since 2015. Prior to that, she worked in the consulting world, including running her own business, and has some local government experience. Like to point out and maybe highlight that Laura's worked on salmon issues for 20 years. The big question we may all have is why hasn't Laura, if she's this amazing, fixed that problem for us yet? It seems so simple.
Tribes ask me that all the time.
I do want to say that that the Laura in particular has been an amazing friend and partner to me and to Ron Warren, I think, is sitting behind us here, as well as to the department. The partnership is such a critically important partner. With us and others in the Puget Sound and tasked with tackling all sorts of things beyond even just the salmon issue. So very, very thankful for our collaboration and partnership. And maybe with that, I will reserve all of the available time for Laura to tell us more about the partnership.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, Director Suswin. It's great to be here. Deputy Director Windrow, nice to see you. I am also aware that I am standing between you and lunch, so I will be brief and try to save time for your questions and discussion at the end. I'm going to give you an overview of the agency, our history, our mission, vision, and role, and how we work closely with DFW. And yeah, and please stop me at any time if you have, however you want to manage it. So I think you probably know this, but Puget Sound is beautiful, but it's in trouble. And in the early 2000s, the public began to realize that there was something really very wrong. Then Governor Christine Gregoire established a task force, which recommended creation of the partnership in 2006. Following her lead, the Washington State Legislature established the partnership in 2007 and charged us with achieving Puget Sound recovery by this year. I am extending the deadline to the 31st, I think, of December. The legislature also established six goals. They didn't say which day. The legislature also established six goals for the agency, which really captured the breadth of the human and ecological aspects of the ecosystem. There are three main things that I want you to know about us. We are a non-regulatory agency, which means that our primary power, such that it is, comes from the power of our collaborative governance structure, which I'll talk about in a little bit. Congress also included us as part of the National Estuary Program, which ties us pretty closely to EPA. And the Washington State Legislature, when it created the agency, designated our leadership council as the Puget Sound Regional Salmon Recovery Organization, except for Hood Canal Summer Chem. Which ties us pretty closely to NOAA. And since you all work a lot on salmon issues yourselves, I thought you might have some questions about what it means to be a regional salmon recovery organization. the law that created this function is the same law that created the Governor's Salmon Recovery Office and also the lead entity system at the local watershed scale. It's RCW 7785, and it gives us it says that we may plan for salmon recovery, we may coordinate it, and we may monitor it. So we have chosen to do all three of those things. And we really focus here in Puget Sound on habitat protection and restoration. We do that H, and we know that our co-manager friends work on the other H's of harvest and hatchery. The vision of the agency is a vibrant, enduring natural systems and communities, and our mission is to accelerate the collective effort to recover and sustain Puget Sound. And it's worth pausing here to note that even though we are a state agency, we focus entirely on Puget Sound. So we're a little odd in that regard. Unusual. Special.
Just in that regard.
Just in that regard. And to achieve our vision and further our mission, we operate as a backbone organization. A backbone organization is one that provides the infrastructure needed for diverse partners to develop and adaptively manage a common vision over time. So we have three main roles in that regard. We chart the course to recovery, we manage shared measures, and we support our partners. Our primary guiding document is the Action Agenda for Puget Sound. We collaboratively develop it every 4 years with literally hundreds of partners. It presents the big picture of Puget Sound recovery. It identifies our recovery priorities. It includes over 600 near-term actions that, if implemented, would help protect and recover the sound. And it also fulfills a responsibility that we have under the National Estuary Program. Our second role is to manage shared measures. Our Puget Sound vital signs, which maybe you've seen, are measures of ecosystem health and progress toward Puget Sound recovery goals. We develop these collaboratively also. And there are vital signs that represent each of the six goals, including healthy human populations. Every 2 years, we publish the State of the Sound Report, in which we report on the current status of the vital sign indicators. And we just released the 2019 version in December. And it includes this time, for the first time, what we hope is a clear call to action to invest time and resources in Puget Sound recovery. It's pretty cool. It's all online. You should check it out. Has stories, videos. It's fun. Our third role is to support our partners in getting the work of recovery done. We do that in a variety of ways, chief among which is advocating for diversified and enhanced funding, bringing diverse partners together to tackle thorny policy issues, and educating key decision makers such as members of Congress or the Washington State Legislature, legislators, and local elected officials. We also lead strategic communications efforts. For example, we worked with DFW and others to coordinate the communications professionals at federal and state agencies over the past couple years on orca-related communications work. And this June, we launched a new data platform called Puget Sound Info. We've done that actually in collaboration with DFW and others. And it provides information on our vital signs, projects funded under the National Estuary Program, and projects that are proposed in the Action Agenda. So this is the slide that'll probably make you grin. We are a small but feisty agency. This year, we finally made it to 50 employees. Our biennial budget roughly equals the budget hole that DFW has. I'm not proposing that as a solution. but our biennial budget is about $26 million. Despite being founded by the state legislature, the majority of our funding has come from federal sources, primarily from EPA. With this biennium, our budget, the state invested more in us, which is great, and that draws us closer to a 50-50 split. And I promised to talk about our collaborative governance structure. So state law, as well as the National Estuary Program, directs us to support a collaborative effort to align federal, tribal, state, and local resources to recover Puget Sound. To do that, we support five multi-stakeholder boards and councils. The governor appoints a seven-person leadership council charged with overseeing the recovery effort. They're sort of our analog to you guys. We also have a Salmon Recovery Council, which advises the Leadership Council on matters related to salmon. We have an Ecosystem Coordination Board, which advises them on everything else. And then we have a science panel, provides science support, And the Puget Sound Ecosystem Monitoring Program brings monitoring professionals together to organize and synthesize findings so that we can feed that into our decision-making process. This system of boards sets Puget Sound-wide policy guidance for how recovery should happen. Our Leadership Council approves the action agenda, and we hope that they are all thinking broadly about how to achieve Puget Sound recovery. And the system works well, I think, because we have decision makers at the table, including tribal, state, and local elected officials and high-ranking staff from other organizations such as DFW who can negotiate on behalf of their organizations. It is a meeting-intensive system for sure, but we have worked through some thorny policy issues and emerged with durable outcomes. We also, like you, work very closely with the treaty tribes in Western Washington. Tribal members or employees participate on all of our boards and councils. Tribal representatives are the chair and vice chair of the Salmon Recovery Council and the vice chair of the Ecosystem Coordination Board. And we also meet monthly with the tribes at the Partnership Tribal Co-Management Council, which we co-lead with the Northwest Indian Fisheries Commission. So we take our tribal partners' treaty rights very seriously and engage with them early and often on our policy ideas, programs, and projects that affect the tribes and or their treaty rights and resources. We also support and rely on a strong system at the local level as well. Our local partners do the hard work of developing protection and restoration projects, working with local landowners and multiple parties to bring recovery projects to fruition. The local system is where implementation of restoration projects and many protection projects and programs occurs. So I promised I would talk about how we work with DFW. I would say maybe at the most basic level, we have really strong relationships both at the staff and leadership level between our two agencies. Over the past couple of years, we worked closely with DFW to co-lead the governor's Southern Resident Killer Whale Task Force. DFW has a seat on all but one of our boards and councils. And they co-lead the Habitat Strategic Initiative with the Department of Natural Resources under the National Estuary Program, so that's a key relationship for us. We also work closely with Jeff and Morgan and others on salmon conservation projects. Our two flagship, I think, certainly for us, one for you, grant programs work very closely together, and in fact our Leadership Council approves the investment plan every biennium for the ESRP, and our program is the Puget Sound Acquisition and Restoration Fund. We also do policy work together and advocacy work. Back in, Ron came with us back to D.C. last year, and Puget Sound Day on the Hill happens every year. It'll probably be in late April this year, and hope you will join us there to educate Congress on all the funding that they need to send us to do all the good work that we're doing. And then we also work with you guys on the Invasive Species Council. Right now, I think the hot issue is preventing further spread of European green crab. So in summary, we're a small state agency charged with accelerating Puget Sound recovery. We do this work by convening hundreds of partners, coordinating their diverse efforts into one cohesive action plan. And we believe in a strong regional perspective, as well as a strong local recovery system, and in the power of relationships. And I think that's all I wanted to say. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Just a quick question with regard to the your funding situation and the current budget from D.C. So can you elaborate a little bit about how that has come down this past year and where that's at?
Yes. So we are funded through the National Estuary Program, which comes through EPA, and we are very excited that this year, for the first time in a long time, we received an increase of $5 million from $28 million to $33 million in that program. We as the agency doesn't receive very much of that at all, I think $1 million to $1.5 million or something, but instead that mostly goes out to our partners to do project work, and then EPA also sets a chunk of that aside to work with the tribes. So that's where the bulk of our federal funding comes from. That's what we go back to D.C. to advocate for, as well as funding for the implementation of the Pacific Salmon Treaty, increased funding in the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund. We get a small slice of that funding to fund our work as the regional organization. And that's all.
Mr. Baker?
Thank you for your presentation. You guys do amazing work. It sounds like you primarily heard a whole bunch of very well-intentioned cats.
Exactly right, yes. They don't usually agree with each other.
Well, that's
and a few dogs.
That's right. There's no dogs in my analogies. On your third slide, which is the six legislated goals.
Yep.
The question that I have is in terms of all of this bureaucracy and all of these people and all of these meetings, do you have sub goals? Do you have ways in which to measure progress and or not?
That's yes. Yes. So the vital signs, that wheel that I showed you. Hang on. Sorry, I'm hoping not making you seasick. So this is the set of vital signs that we track every 2 years. And we publish the State of the Sound report, which is online at stateofthesound.wa.gov, I believe. Not all of the vital signs have indicators, and not all of the indicators have data, but we publish as much as we can. So we are tracking, and most of the ecosystem indicators that we monitor also have targets. For the human well-being vital signs, which are access to local foods, clean air, clean water, that sort of thing. We don't necessarily set targets for those, but we do monitor them. So you can see, I'm sure we can make the State of the Sound, we can get them the link, so you can see our latest report.
Mr. Smith.
Thanks, Laura. Mm-hmm. You know, it was last summer that one of the whale meetings, I said that I thought that the commission would benefit by getting a briefing on the Puget Sound Partnership because of the symbiotic nature of,
yes,
of what we do. A couple of things. You mentioned the links that the partnership has with the department.
Mm-hmm.
And could we get a list of where those links are and who they are with? Because,
sure.
You know, just, again, for more of our benefit. And on your distribution of all of your stuff here, mm-hmm, that looks really good. Would it be possible that you could get in touch with Nikki, that we could be in the distribution list, like when Vital Signs comes out or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I think this is just an introduction in terms of what, but we want to make sure that this mm-hmm relationship blossoms more.
Yes,
we just need to be continually be informed.
Okay. And when you say links, do you mean like which of our program staff work together?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because you said you have links with a lot of different,
we do,
DFW
mm-hmm
programs, and knowing what those programs are and what those links are would be beneficial.
Sure.
Commissioner Graybill and then Commissioner Linville, if I may.
Again, thank you for the presentation. I recall, gosh, it's probably 3 years ago by now, that mm-hmm there was an effort in Washington, D.C. to acquire a significant amount of funding for Puget Sound cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in the order of a Superfund approach to it. And that died. And is the work you're doing or this organization an outgrowth of that, or is this just a separate thing? And is there any hope of getting the kind of attention required to Puget Sound that's really necessary?
That's a great question. So I think for the first part of your question, I'm hopeful that we were part of that push to get significant funding for Puget Sound. One of the things that we point out to Congress whenever we get the opportunity is that we are funded at the $33 million level now, and Chesapeake and the Great Lakes are at hundreds of millions of dollars. And we are actually the nation's largest estuary by volume. The Chesapeake is the largest by area. But we're just as big as they are.
Mm-hmm.
We suffer I'm really glad most of the time that we are entirely within one state. But when it comes to lobbying Congress for more money, it's only our delegation that cares. So we have that challenge. We don't have other states with us. We're working to fix that. In fact, this summer, we partnered with DFW to co-lead a tour for Congressman Kilmer, who is on the House Appropriations Committee, and two of his colleagues, Betty McCollum from Minnesota and David Joyce from Ohio, who came out to see Puget Sound for themselves. And Kelly was generous enough to make your boats available for us to take them out on the sound. gave them a pretty good tour. Taylor Shellfish fed them some great lunch. And I think that had probably some effect on that, you know, that $5 million bump. And I get really excited about a $5 million bump, and then I compare that in my head to the federal budget, and that's like, why am I so excited? But, I mean, we're going to put it to really good use. So that's the first question. So, I went back to D.C. in June to testify before the House on the Puget SOS bill, which was introduced by Denny Heck, and that would authorize, not appropriate, but authorize us for up to $50 million. That would be great. I'd love to see us at $200, $500. We could spend it all. And I've already forgotten what the second part of your question was.
Well, actually...
Oh, was there any hope? that was the question. So I have to believe there is, because otherwise I would stop coming to work in the morning. I think there are lots of people who believe strongly in this effort. I think the tribes are fantastic partners because they can say things in a direct way that we can't say. We have really great nonprofit partners. Rob Crable's here from Defenders of Wildlife, Washington Environmental Council, the Nature Conservancy. So all of us have a role to play. And our science panel will tell you that we can recover Puget Sound, but we have to do it now. We can't wait. And so the part that I'm really struggling with and could use your help with is, how do I change the conversation? One of the things that we've been doing in the legislature, our leadership council has been leading this, I should be very clear, because we're not allowed to. The leadership council brought together the tribes, the state family, and the environmental groups to say, what are our priorities for Puget Sound in this supplemental budget year? Far and away, the top priority, this was really easy actually, was fixing the agency's budget crisis. That is the top priority of everybody in that room. Because we know that if your agency is healthy and focused on doing your work instead of trying to figure out how to fix a budget, then there's a lot of benefit for Puget Sound in that. So our leadership council is working really hard to bring voices together and get louder, and as Lorraine Loomis said in a recent blog, break some China. So I'd love your help.
Okay, Commissioner Linville and Commissioner Smith.
Thank you for that. You use the term durable outcomes from your diverse stakeholder meetings and the CATS.
Yes.
And I was just wondering if you would give us a couple of specific durable outcomes that you had, maybe the ones you're most excited about or proud of. I'd like to hear about that.
Okay. One example is back in 2017, we worked primarily with our Salmon Recovery Council on developing a set of what we called Chinook Bold Actions. And that was a cat herding exercise extraordinaire. And it was really led by the tribes. The tribes were the driving force behind it. So very strong habitat protection and restoration goals. And we ended up having the Salmon Recovery Council vote in favor of them, and then the Leadership Council adopted most of those. And so those are reflected in our action agenda. One of the tougher conversations was around the concept of net ecological gain and changing our regulatory system, our land use system, so that instead of just focusing on no net loss, we're aiming for net ecological gain. Representative Lukianoff has dropped two bills this session proposing net ecological gain. And who knows what will happen, but I am heartened to see the conversation gaining steam and really continuing. For example.
I remember being inundated almost on a weekly basis by the Gulf of Mexico program, the Chesapeake program, or the Great Lakes program. It was a few years ago, but Puget Sound was very seldom on the radar at all. Now, one of the reasons is geography, as you said. I mean, the drainage of Chesapeake is...
Six states. Yeah.
Massive, but... I would encourage, and this is maybe where we can have a blossoming partnership, of ratcheting up that visibility within EPA. And so I'd be happy to throw my two cents in at any time, too. But I just think we're sitting out here in the off over here, in the center is more the other direction. So we have to be continually pushing and making sure that visibility is there. And so how we invoke new partners, and on, but...
Right. And I have an opportunity for you, which is...
Does it pay?
Well, no, unfortunately. You have to pay. every year we go back to D.C. with as many people as will go with us. We have, it's called Puget Sound Day on the Hill. We hold it in conjunction with Salmon Days on the Hill. And we try to get as many diverse partners as possible to come back to D.C. with us. We are all in one big room for a day, and members of the delegation come in and talk to us about their priorities, and we can thank them and encourage them to keep up the fight. We also do small group meetings with them on the second day. We co-lead that with the Northwest Indian Fisheries Commission. And so it would be great, and we always have really strong representation from the state, from the tribes, local government, nonprofits, but what we're trying to do is get more business people. It'd be great to have recreational anglers, commercial fishermen, you know, folks from the communities that you work with. We would love to have come with us. And we don't have the dates nailed down yet, probably the last week in April, but we'll definitely let you know because it'd be great to have you guys. Ron was there last year.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing, but yeah, that's still a one or two event. Mm-hmm. I think we need to continually develop plans of attack.
That'd be great.
You know.
Yep, and let us know how we, if you guys are going back there, let us know how we can support you.
Mr. Kegel.
Yeah, thanks for coming, Laura, and
yes,
thanks for Commissioner Smith. It's a good idea to have this presentation. So I'm just looking at your mission, and it's mm-hmm. accelerate the collective effort to recover and sustain the Puget Sound. Mm-hmm. So in your view, what are the biggest challenges facing our state, mm-hmm. or everybody, in achieving the mission? I mean, obviously, funding is one.
Funding is one. Climate change and population growth are the two biggest challenges facing our effort. That's the short answer. With changes in precipitation, changes in snowpack, flooding, all of that, climate change is just going to make our job harder. And continued population growth, the thing that keeps me awake. I live in Seattle. We are the crane capital of North America. And what keeps me awake at night is, you know, I'm hopeful that all of these people who are moving here for really great jobs are going to live between me and the highway, right? I want them in my city. I don't want them in the rural area. But affordability is a major issue. So, and, you know, here I am, this tiny agency, 50 people, no regulatory authority, power of relationships only. How do I convince people to do the right thing, capture hearts and minds? It's hard.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought this was, you know, very enlightening and very, very helpful. I from my perspective, I heard a lot about the Puget Sound Partnership for many, many years, but I didn't know anything about it. I still don't think I know a lot about it. I would like to propose that we perhaps try to schedule, and I'd like to see it kind of at a grassroots level, mm-hmm. some of the grassroots things that you're doing.
Sure.
You know, I mean, that's all great about going back to D.C. and doing all that stuff, mm-hmm. and getting the money. But what actually are the boots on the ground doing, and are we making progress, and how measurable are they? If we're going to go out and try and find some significant industry people to participate, I think that's kind of where we're going to have to start, okay, from my perspective. So consider that, please.
I will. Yeah. I will. Thank
Mr.
you.
Graybill?
If I may, when you talk about the population, mm-hmm. and this is a huge issue, mm-hmm. For Puget Sound, there are real leaders that contribute to that, and there are Amazon, mm-hmm. and Microsoft and Facebook, and these are bringing those people here for those
right.
high-paying jobs. It's highly... My impression is they would be very likely contributors to your effort if they were made aware mm-hmm. of their impact on Puget Sound.
I hope you're right. What we've found is that because we're a government agency, we're not always the best messenger.
Yeah.
But we are working really closely, particularly with the Nature Conservancy right now and Bonneville Environment Foundation and others, to try to deepen those connections to Amazon, Microsoft, Google, Boeing, Alaska Airlines, actually.
Sure.
Yeah, so we're working on that, but it's we're really good at building relationships with people who love to work with the government. It's
harder. So two people.
So I have, if you guys have ideas or have, you know, people you can introduce us to, I'd be thrilled.
Well, one of the reasons it occurred to me is because Jeff had really good success talking to REI recently and found they had a lot of common goals,
mm-hmm.
which was kind of a pleasant relationship mm-hmm. development. And it may be likely we could find those elsewhere. And what you're doing is generating a lot of information that's going to be eye-opening. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the value, is just being able to educate people with solid facts and projections and all of
that. Yes, yes. Anyway. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, the fact that Commissioner Smith arrived a little bit late, he does have one more question or comment. His stomach is making an unusual amount of noise over here. Hey,
Bellingham is cut off. I mean, I don't know if you watched the news. I mean, just,
you know. Are you snowed in?
Yeah, I mean, it's the trees are down.
Wow.
Wester's been closed again today. High school, or all the schools are closed. Once you get about 20 miles south,
you're fine.
It's fine, but it's just,
you want to leave early?
That's not my comment.
Is it climate change?
And this is, last night or the night before, some of you might have seen Microsoft's new pledge.
Mm-hmm.
My eyes opened on that one. I mean, they're thinking out of big time, big time, big time. And they got all right words, at least in the press release, when the president of Microsoft was talking, you know, climate, sustainability, population. And I think, you know, just they might be ripe for a great opening of not a proposal, but the idea of a proposal, if it is partnered with a number of different partners. Because the amount of money that they are, you know, and they're talking a 10-year window, which I, you know, Amazon is at a 20-year window to do the same thing. So, again, just thinking off the top of my head, maybe a meeting with us and you.
Would love that.
And somebody there. Just to let them know we're here and we're interested in maybe seeing what we can cook up together. Because I know people will be starting to beat a path to that door pretty soon.
Pretty quick, yes.
And I think collectively the clout that we could, you know, marshal together, and maybe a third or fourth partner for that bridge game too. So just it's a thought, because when I saw that last night on the news or the night before, once my power came back on, it was I thought, wow, there's something here.
Thank you.
And that plays into Commissioner Grable's talk about these are hometown people that you know,
contributors.
And this is their backyard. The REIs are all good and all that, but that's the big pockets are, you know.
Right, and our theory, our hypothesis, is that people are moving here to take these jobs because they're good jobs, but also this is a great place to live. And a big part of that is Puget Sound and how beautiful it is here. And so,
and a lot of those people that move here that take those jobs do have the social consciousness to do this sort of stuff.
Right. So I appreciate that.
What else do you have for us?
I think that is all.
That it? Well, that was great.
Thank you.
Would look forward to hearing the potential for some other educational perspectives from you and Mr. Davis. I think it's something encouraging, to say the least.
Great. Well, I would like to also invite you all to our next Leadership Council meeting, which is here in Olympia on February 5th. So if you're interested in checking out your and maybe we should have a joint meeting or a dinner or something with you guys. There's only seven of my guys, but that would be, I think that could be really valuable.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having
me.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, sir.